Last time you drink on the job, eh?
This is horrible. This what a horrible way to start a podcast.
It's good though. 1 hour of getting loose.
Do we let everyone know?
Yeah, I reckon. What have we talked about? China, meaning of life.
Well, no. I meant, do we let everyone know that I lost all of our footage?
Yeah. So I mean, I'm just trying to go off of what everyone's missed.
Ryan invited me on his podcast. His the hallmark of Kiwi podcasts, and yeah,
just
I,
like a basic laptop computer that records.
You've been around the traps. You've
yeah, but,
been
but up, how like compared to this?
Well, this crashed on you. So we're an hour in. Actually, Ryan said, "Come be a guest on my podcast." I was like, "Yeah, bro, come over, and I'll let you use all my sweet gear." And so an hour in, and we were going sweet. We were up to the bit where I was saying I was doing a story on Jacinda,
yeah,
not understanding humanity because she's too much like us.
Yeah,
she looks at the world through a fair lens.
Yeah,
and that's actually a critique on all politicians. And then I glanced over, as I do, just to make sure the recording's going, and my face was jammed like this. For those looking, it's like, you know that guy on the slow internet ad?
Yeah.
The glitch. So I'm very sorry, Ryan.
It's all right. No, so what started that is, I can say it all again, eh? When I was talking to Tim Provise, the Provise Project podcast, I brought up the fact, and we talked about how great Tim was. Mm-hmm. You know,
did you just email him and he said, yeah, I'll do your podcast?
It was just Instagram. You know, same with the way you and I connected.
It's the way people don't realize how you can get in touch with people, eh? You just
ask.
A lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the hardest person? Okay, we will go back to Tim. Who's the hardest person that you just can't get on the podcast? For me, it was Mike King. For years I tried, yeah, and I only recently got him.
Yeah, I was the same. Tim Noakes, Professor Tim Noakes.
Mm.
I interviewed Belinda and Gary Fecky. They're about in the 50s. Obviously, Grant Schofield, who we've talked a bit about
in our previous life.
Yeah, and a thing that doesn't exist anymore, just between you and I. Grant Schofield early on, and then Grant and Karen came on. Had Sean Baker, old carnivore.
Oh yeah, how was that? Was that cool?
That was intimidating.
Was it?
It was like right when he talked to Joe Rogan, and it just so happened that Sean used to play rugby for Hotapu in Cambridge, and me working out in my garage listening to Joe and Sean talk, and I tagged Cambridge and Sean Baker, and it must just have been the purple patch where there wasn't quite enough followers, and he read the message and responded and said, yeah, sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, he's had an interesting journey, that dude, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where it's going to go now.
Mm.
Yeah, because like Siobhan, who's a fellow optometrist that came on a couple of episodes, was talking to me the other day about this website called No More Myopia or something like that. Apparently some dude that's reversed his short-sightedness from a -4 back to normal, lives in Bhutan. Anyway, he was on the Human Performance Outliers podcast when it used to be Sean and Zach Bitter. And of course the two of them are gone their separate ways. And all of the podcasts that was Sean and Zach are no longer there. Because I was saying to Siobhan, I was like, I haven't looked at his stuff, but he sounds like a charlatan. There was no specifics coming out of the podcast, just that go to my website and I live in Bhutan, and allegedly, yeah. So, you know, hey, he might not be a charlatan, but my spidey senses were a little piqued by that. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, Tim Noakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a hard task getting on him. And then, yeah, because it's, you know, written multiple books, very published, you know. Ordinarily, I think he does this sort of stuff for a booking fee to his foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So that was also a little bit awkward.
And so the other Tim Provise, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so because you had brought him up.
Yeah.
And you emailed him, well, you Instagrammed him, and it worked. And yeah, just got a bit of an aura about the dude, eh?
Yeah, hard. It was after those podcast awards is what how it all came about. The Rover podcast awards.
Yeah, yeah, that pissed a lot of people off, eh, bro?
Including him that Friday.
Yeah.
And that was, like you say, the aura. He went out there and said what we all thought, like, oh, wow, is that how it's going to run? Okay, glad I think I spent 2 hours cutting a 10-minute clip of my content from the last year.
Yeah. You know they didn't listen to it, eh?
Yeah. I don't know, like, yeah. When they asked for a whole bunch of your data, that should have been a massive, like,
I think they got overwhelmed. Yeah. I think they got overwhelmed, you know, because the amount they were saying, the nominees, I was like, well, this is set up, this is an organization. And then I asked my friend, I'm nervous.
You like me that with it's going to
crash because I'm not normally like this. Sorry, folks, but it crashed on me. So I don't know what we're going to do if this one crashes.
Well, no one will know.
You're so zen. You're so zen about it. No, they won't know because it wasn't fucking recorded. But they'll be like, your audience is going to be like, man, Will's grumpy. He wasn't for the first hour.
We had a beer. It was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. He was fine when his gear turned on him. But there was this kind of weird moment around those awards, and then I reached out to my friend Pat, who hosts the Department of Conversation podcast, if you've come across that before. He's a furious podcaster in terms of he has amazing guests, and you know he really pushes it. Anyway, he was kind of talking, you know, I guess he wasn't that positive about it, and so I was like, man, if he doesn't have a good read on it, that's a shame, because I think anything we see in the podcast space is like, yeah, that's awesome, you know?
Yeah. And I think there's going to be a podcast sort of get together in Auckland for Auckland Podcasters in March. We'll see.
Are you talking about the messages I sent you?
Yeah. No, there was someone else.
Because I started emailing you and I was like, we should do our own festival.
No, but there is one. I think
yes, is that
now this is where I could be wrong, because when I started talking to Tim, I was like, are you part of the West West group? He's like, nah, I'm just by myself. I was like, oh, that got messed up then. But and then I want to say that they're organising it, but then I'm also like, oh no, I don't think that's right either.
There's someone called Dr. Tennant, Lewis Tennant, is it? He's an academic at Auckland Uni. I think he's doing something. But this is the Wild West that we're in, eh, bro?
Yeah.
It's like podcasting's been around for ages and it still feels like it hasn't.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, and I'll die on this hill, a podcast is not a radio show put on iTunes.
Yeah.
A podcast is a long-form conversation where ideas are shared.
Yeah.
And people connect through corridor, through conversation.
And have you had a look at any charts?
Oh, no, I don't anymore.
Yeah, neither. Because it's all the radio shows, and it's cool.
It's not cool. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it is not cool because it sucks.
But, okay, from the perspective of the media companies, and like there's a big shitstorm going on at the moment between the media companies around who's working where and who's gone who and who got fired and who no longer had their contract renewed, but they can't start working for the other company, they're protecting their turf. And if you can just like have your producer clip up a bunch of audio and dump it onto a RSS feed and call it a podcast and sort of cloud out all of the, you know, sitting in a cabin recording podcasts, well, then which, why wouldn't you?
Needs to be taken into account.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm sitting here with a little switcher and cutting between the cameras, and everyone's like, how do you do that? And it's like, because like we learned to drive and we can use the blinkers and torque and, you know, back in the day, the manual, and that's all this is. But that's not what's happening when media makes it. What happens when media makes it is they've got full-time staff who are dedicated to trying to get your eyeballs and ear holes registered into them. And it's a so unfair fight. Like, I think there was no advocacy for podcasters as far as, and there still isn't. There's not a group, there's not a code of conduct that we all go by, and there's writers have guilds and stuff, and we don't have, we just got each other.
Yeah, but so that's kind of the point of it, isn't it? All we have is each other.
Mm.
All we have is each other. And like, I think you and I and Akash and Chris Desmond, when he was doing interview form, came to the space with, hey, cool, I love what you're doing, come on, and I'm going to come on you. Let's do some conversations.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if we're going to, you know, and there's no argument that Joe Rogan's the most popular podcast in the world. And that's the ethos that he runs by. He has Adam Carrier on the podcast, and they talk about the ethos of podcasting.
Mm.
And that's what it talks about. And Tom Green? Same thing, you know? They talk about the, like, server and things that Tom Green built, but he just wanted to talk to his mates, and he wanted to, like, produce stuff and be, you know, as Tom Green is, be silly to the world and let it out to the world. You know, that's the ethos of podcasting and what got me inspired. Like,
absolutely. And we talked about it in the Lost Hour.
Yeah.
Where it's a neutral space where we've been able to form a friendship over a neutral area. Like, there's a more of a chance that we don't get to know each other ever. Because if you don't have people in your immediate networks, you never meet people. But we have created a butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Where we will, and we have a skill now of being able to meet people outside of our network. Huh. And it's like, that's a gift, man. Like, it's a true gift.
How do you look for your guests? I'm literally like, who's doing cool shit? And even better when I know them.
So,
and I almost find it harder when I know them, because then they get the tall poppy effect. They're like, well, then that's going to go into our friend circle and we're going to get cut down. And I'm like, I'm literally trying to get you on here to boost you up, mate.
Yeah.
It's just hard. Like, I suppose we're the most humble to our immediate circle. And we're also the most reserved at boosting up our immediate circle. In the last hour, we've talked a little bit about the mental health problem in this country. And that's part of it as well, that in our immediate circle, we're not vulnerable, but we'll talk to complete strangers. And like all these pages that are running mental wellness say, the messages I get, they're not from their friends.
Mm.
They're from other people. And I'm not betcha, but it's a high probability that they haven't told their friends.
Yeah. Well, I think you roll in a interesting circle too, which is like very self-sufficient people.
Mm-hmm.
Who are used to, you know, and who probably understand a bit more discipline and, you know, like when you hunt, you got to be quiet. People don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Well, say whatever I want to, you know, but there's and I guess what comes with that is it's traditionally a masculine, you know, hunting and stuff. And so I know because my dad is a big hunter and one of the things that comes along with that traditionally is like, we'll talk when we're hammered. And so I think what you've been able to do is kind of start capturing these conversations with, you know.
Sometimes we need some lubrication.
But. Yes, but that is the secondary goal.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the primary goal to get hammered and then we'll talk about feelings. You know, you've created a podcast and a catalogue of art that has opened up, you know, dialogue and conversation and, you know, it's like, that's when you watch from afar at all of us doing stuff. We're all trying to enact something cool like that. And you know, when it comes to guests, I've thought about that too. How do I? And it's going to sound strange because it sounds strange to me, but you mentioned Spidey Sense. I just trust that feeling now.
Yeah.
And it's not a voice, because I don't really get those, but it's a feeling of, oh, that'd be a good person to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so random, bro. You know, like I'm currently talking on Monday on Skype for a pre-interview with an author who writes books on Egypt.
Wow, yeah.
And I got to that person because I saw another documentary, some Jean-Pierre guy, who he found the hidden rooms in the pyramids, and I was trying to get to him.
Yeah.
But he's not available yet, but he said, oh, this other lady interviewed me because she writes, what's the not real books? Non-fiction.
No, fiction.
Fiction. Yeah. But make-believe.
Yeah.
But she writes books about Egypt and the pyramids.
Cool.
And so I found her on Instagram. Yeah. And I asked her, would you consider? And she's like, no, but I'll talk to you and we'll discuss if it's right for me. And I was like, okay. And, you know, like and now I don't let them ask me, why do you want me to talk? You know, why do you want to chat to me? I front foot that and say, I just, to let you know, I don't really plan my guests. I just get a feeling and I've learned to trust that.
Yeah.
So it's something like I'm looking for what I think will be a nice variety and story. I mean, I've learned a lot. You know, I'm planning on starting a new podcast. That's we didn't get to that in the hour I lost.
Yeah.
But I think I made an error. So in my podcasting career, I've had, if I start a new podcast, I will have had 4 podcasts.
Yeah.
My first podcast, which I totally deleted on offline, was an interview show, and I had 60 episodes.
Wow.
And I called it Off the Record, and this was just me taking a phone.
So do you know, Will, that 60 episodes is like the 5% of podcasts of the 2 million? So this was something I wanted to talk to you about, was that there's like 2 million podcasts, right? And 90% of them don't get past episode 3.
Is that true?
According to some, it's a video. We'll play that, eh? So you go carry on talking about your podcast.
And
it's going to be TikTok. It's going to automatically play on us.
The next podcast I had was called My Kiwi Life. It's still up online. It's still my most popular podcast. I was telling you, it got thousands of downloads. This was back in early 2000s, whatever it was. And if I had stuck to that, I think I would have been, you know, that would have been my job. What I think people liked about that podcast that I made the error on this podcast, not this podcast, this is your podcast, but on my podcast, Pleased By My Mind, is I thought people liked my other podcast, My Kiwi Life, because I was searching for meaning as a 30-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
That was 10 years ago. And I thought, yes, that's what I'll do on my next podcast. I'll go deep into meaning. But I made the error because my other podcast, My Kiwi Life, I did the backstory of my guests.
Yeah.
The Marc Maron. And so I thought, when I start a new podcast, I wish to reconnect with the narrative around, if I'll interview you on that, I want to know about where you were born, what your influences were. When it came time for you to decide for your career, what were those key moments?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people are yearning for in our world.
Mm.
I just made an error. I thought it was like, if I can get you to tell me how you view the world and what makes meaning to you, makes sense, that will provide content people want. And I think...
Where did you get that insight that you now believe is an error?
I think just through doing... I've done 156 episodes of my podcast, Pleased By My Mind.
Yeah.
And it's just a feeling that I've been having recently.
Yeah.
So I think I will continue Pleased By My Mind.
Yeah.
I just think that it will be a personal love letter to myself as opposed to an audience-driven show that works on scale.
Yeah.
You know? And also, it will be a place for me to meet people. But if we're... You know, I get the sense that you're serious too about trying to push to that next level.
Yeah.
And the question we have to ask ourselves is the vehicle we're in the right one?
Yeah.
So, for example, I've called my next podcast. Oh, no, I shouldn't say it because someone might go out and take all the names. Well, you can do that if you feel like being a sad guy. I've called my next podcast The Campfire Chat.
Yeah.
Right? Because when I was thinking about it, I want the name to tell you what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, my most, the pride I have when we chat is I feel like we simulate on all the technology a campfire conversation. And that's what I think, when I think of what got humans through most things, whether you're in the war, whether you're hiding from a tiger, or, you know, it's like that fire, that flame, it kept you warm. And you probably talked a bit of shit with each other. And, you know, like you think and about... You
exaggerated the story.
Or you go hunting or fishing or whatever. And then when that fire's on, it's like, hey, bro, you mentioned something today. What was that about?
Yeah.
You know, and I would like to think that that could be the type of podcast that I can host. And also I've taken it a bit serious to be like, and you've seen my posts online about Campfire Studios, I want to have a serious place where people can come.
Yeah.
Like, this is serious, but this is going to be my, I will do serious podcasts here, don't get me wrong, but this is more like an experiment where I'm at with my personal podcast, Please Blow My Mind. It's like, let's see if we can, you know, reach a place together. So, you know, it's, I've been babbling on, but I think, you know, it's the next step we're trying to take. And I don't know, just, you asked how did I realize that? Well, if 154 of my 156 of my episodes haven't got me to a position where where it's like full time, you got to ask yourself, maybe that wasn't the intent.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Yeah.
But
you want to.
Well, we're talking about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I think also the skill set I've learned over the 300, if you add all my podcasts together, is that I believe that's the hours I've needed to help produce for others. So I think that might be where I make my career.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. So, like, let's go back to that talking point. This was from Roland Fraser. I think he introduces himself.
Ever thought about doing a podcast? Podcasts are wonderful. I have one called Business Lunch. Please go listen to it, subscribe, and review. There's a lot of great information, much longer than these videos. And here's the interesting thing. 90% of podcasts never go past episode 3. This is from Jack Butcher, by the way. That's 1.8 million podcasts that quit out of the 2 million that got started. So of the 200,000 that are left, he says 90% of those will quit after 20 episodes. So that means there's another 180,000 that are gone that never get past 20 episodes. We're on like 300 right now, by the way. So to be in the top 1% of podcasts in the world, if you've ever thought about doing a podcast, podcasts are wonderful. I have one called Business Lunch.
Yeah.
Please go listen to it, subscribe. And
wow. There's a lot of
So who's Jack Butcher?
Yeah, that's your next question. Hey, so that's interesting. So we're in quite a small club.
1% of podcasts over 20 episodes.
How many have you done?
221 before this one.
Are you just keen to keep going?
Yeah. So,
what's your thoughts on my ideas with the vehicle? Is this the right vehicle? Like, do you think the
name might be an issue? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, it does give the vibe of a hunting podcast.
It gives the essence of it.
An essence of it, yeah. And it wasn't until about episode 65 that I actually had a hunter on.
Yeah.
Or talked about hunting. We might have had a brief part of the discussion with Tony Dodds in the early podcast, but the majority of that podcast was about his journey as an international triathlete. And that was, you know, episode 4 or something, and I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just trying to talk with someone. Again, that was even more primitive. That was purely just the laptop. Laptop, camera, laptop, microphone.
Fantastic.
And
beautiful.
Yeah. And so then it was a good 150-odd episodes of a lot of Zoom and iPhone headphones. And then talking with Jay Reeve, he said there's a really good USB mic called the Samsung CU60 or something like that.
Mm.
It was about at the time was about $110. I think last time I looked, it was about $200. And that's what I do all my voiceovers. He's got a little home cube studio thing, but yeah, like it picks up really well. And so I bought that and then talked to him with it facing the wrong way.
Yeah, I remember you told me that. That's
And I didn't do that once, but did that twice before I YouTubed. How does this microphone? Now I understand. Yeah. So, you know, the fun of that. And then, the start of last year, got some studio mics and headphones and a interface. And so now I'm up to three of those plus a headset microphone. So there's the ability to maximize my interface, which has four terminals, and yeah, really get a rowdy podcast going.
Isn't it awesome how we all started like that?
Yeah.
And you chip away, you know, like I chipped away for years to get all of this gear.
Yeah.
And it's not until this studio that we're in has probably taken 6 years to get to this point. Mm-hmm. And it's like all little bits and pieces, and it's not bulletproof because there's always something that catches you, like that damn computer that crashed, you know. And it's like that brings us back to the realities of what we're trying to do. And it's weird because we both probably earn okay money in our careers, so why not just splash out? But there's something that this represents, right? Like where we're like,
it's almost like you got to deserve to go to the next step.
Yeah.
And like our careers pay for our life. And that's why I always say that I'm really lucky that I chose a career that I'm passionate about, that I get to do, you know, my purpose of improving people's life.
Mm.
I get to do that every day. And it's the most superb career, that the actual job of it is something that you walk into and start and walk away from and it's finished. There's not many jobs like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, sure, when I get to the point, hopefully not too far away, where I'm a director, is the business side of it. But that's going to be like a cool another like passionate thing to do, to try and look at another lens of and a bigger picture of it. And so I've said this to many people, that yes, especially now I'm trying to like make a financial model, and that's basically to expand the podcast, to get some videoing equipment. But the ROI is the conversations that people have made, the opportunities that have come from it, that, you know, the network that's developed.
Well, see, that's where I think we're revealing something in this chat, where for you to go to the next level, it requires a new, I'm talking about your professional job, director, right? You step up. It's a different, you shed a skin. And I wonder if that maybe it's not, we don't have that many mentors because we've watched Rogan and Maron do over 1,000.
Yeah.
We'd,
Ferris and Mike.
Yeah. You know, and we might have to think about, in our terms, we didn't come to this with the notoriety they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we might have to try and, we might have created a ceiling for us.
Yeah.
And it might be trying to push through that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, and I think what we should say is, well, and I've said it to myself, Please Blow My Mind comes with me.
Yeah.
And that will be my legacy.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't have to define me.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, no, that's what I think a lot of people don't understand about the name Stag Roar. It came out because Stag is, well, especially to my mates that I went to uni with, it's my nickname that I was like still hang out with. That's what I was hanging out with on the, you know, 2nd and 3rd of January, and then we did the podcast together. All those guys call me Stag. Matt's parents call me Stag, and you know, for Nicole to be there and no one's name's calling me by my name, when we've just spent a week like with my daughter and her daughter saying my name 100 times a day, for then no one to call me Ryan, and when she says Ryan, everyone's like, him. That's where the name came from. And again, it's kind of like comes with you type stuff, eh? Like, that was 2017, I was playing rugby, and pretty much everyone knew me as Stack.
Yeah. And that's what I mean, man. That's your legacy.
Yeah.
And part of what we're doing is creating a legacy for our kids to watch. Like, you imagine one day your daughter being able to have untapped access to you. And I'm talking about when, no one likes to think about this stuff, when we're old and crusty, or we're gone, or God knows what happens. But that's catalog, you know, pending worldwide collision and YouTube goes down or whatnot, that's captured.
Yeah.
And that's a, even right now, she'll, both of our kids will probably listen to this, but right now, one day,
yeah,
right now, and they'll be like, fuck yeah, Dad.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, that's amazing. That's an amazing thing to think about. And maybe through most of history, people maybe had a drawing, if you were lucky.
Journals. I spoke about my granddad journaling. I've started thinking about that in my journal as well now. That, holy cow, one day my daughter's going to find this and see that on this date, Dad was grateful for certain things.
Mm.
He wanted to instill these sorts of things about himself. And man, some of these quotes are pretty cool. And if like she could make her way through all of those quotes that I've put down now in like three journals.
Yes.
I'm sure there's the odd double up, but there's a lot of like new ones. It's just like, there's a like wealth of knowledge. And like, that's where I know going down the science route that I haven't like thought much about philosophy. I haven't known or found much out about history. But that's one of the tools that I'm starting to like get that wealth of knowledge through.
But what about all the bits of gold your guests have revealed?
Yeah. Heart.
That we've already implemented in our lives.
Yeah.
And that you could make an argument that the legacy is to provide as much information for those little ears to grow up and listen to. I mean, pick my podcast or your podcast or Chris Desmond, you know, anyone. Like, our kids can listen and they will be better people because they'll be exposed to the Grant Schofields, the Noakes of the world, the Patrick McEwans, you know, it's like
Jimmy Hunt.
It's the real deal, bro. And that's why I can't get over why a podcast isn't just a radio show. That there's there to serve our entertainment, and we're here to serve our betterment, you know,
and our interest and intrigue, eh? Yeah. It's like in the sort of description of the podcast, we both have, you know, that was where myself, you and Akash were talking about, you know, could we do sort of a three-way collaboration, and so what do we all have in common, like blowing your mind, looking at life less ordinary, being a better human. They're all very similar topics. And
absolutely. There's three people on a search for meaning through different methods, you know, like, but similar methods. We're using the power of speech to try to connect to portal into whatever, you know. And I think there's something in that power of three as well. Like, I did a bit of research, you know, and we were sending ideas back and forth, and even the pyramids and, you know, and the three dots of the triangle, and there's these measurements in our body, which, you know, and there was a, I mean, you can find anything on the internet, but there was this whole literature on three. And it was like, what does Jack Johnson say? Is it three? It's the magic number.
Yeah.
Isn't there a song? Right. Three. It's the magic number. So what does that reveal? Maybe the power is in three people chatting and recording that and finding out what you summon from that.
Yeah, yeah. You sit there like, as long as nothing doesn't ruin the earth. How scary was that bloody volcano the other day?
Dude. Just like, you know, it was interesting though, I am... I'm quite tied into the Pacific community because I do a lot of kind of advocacy for podcasting, and specifically around, like, so I'm half Cook Island and half Kiwi, and I've seen the Kiwi side leverage connection through networking and, you know, like Cozy Clubs and that type of stuff. And
there's a Cozy Club in Tokyo.
You know what I mean? Like, you know.
And an RSA.
Yeah, just like connection through networking.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is owning your own narrative and then having the network to help you boost that. So I wish to offer my services to my Pacific business community to be like, I'll help you podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do that. But a lot of them, well, I went in there probably with my more European side, and I was like, oh, you know, this is horrible. And yeah, and they're like, we're survivors.
Right.
We'll kick into gear.
Yeah.
And we don't need New Zealand. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the official approach.
Uh-huh.
But if you think about it, people are survivors, and ancient communities have dealt with things, and they have systems.
Yeah.
They have stories, and they have customs.
Mm-hmm.
Our modern New Zealand, it keeps reinventing itself.
Mm.
So you don't quite know where you come from and who's who, and now we're all being asked to separate again. And I thought Billy T. James brought us all together, you know what I mean? And now it's like we, this group or that group, and who's got vaccinated and who's not, and you know, I don't like that. I am not that. You know, on a any day I can't look at myself and say, oh well, I'm that now, I identify as that now. It's not ever possible for me because I'm a genetic makeup of both. So I thought that was an interesting insight, that the rest of the world said, whoa, that was crazy, but the people dealing with it, we don't know, because comms went down.
Yeah.
They would have been straight into gear.
Yeah.
Just like we would be.
Oh, for sure.
You know? If the pressure was on, we'd be straight into gear.
We did see in Christchurch and Kaikoura.
That's the best example. We were straight into gear. Humanity took over, and, you know, in a couple of days, we had people from Japan and all over the place.
Yeah.
So, granted, that's tricky because you got the ash cloud and stuff.
Yeah.
But you can bet your bottom dollar that internal networks, it's on, baby.
Have you seen the video of Joe Rogan talking about the mega volcano under Yellowstone blowing up? And then he goes, we should all run to New Zealand?
No.
I was like, when he said that, I was just like, mate, if that volcano in Yellowstone's going off, there ain't no New Zealand. And then there's a guy on TikTok who's a geologist, was talking about like the chaos that is New Zealand with its tectonic plates, and then he showed all the fingers that go out through Kaikoura, and then he was like, oh, and by the way, there's all these volcanoes along the North Island too. And I was like, mate, if we're getting some serious, like,
does that stuff freak you out?
Like that we live on it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes and no. Like
what?
How close were you? Did Ruapehu the last time we went off, did that affect you in any way?
We're talking 90.
Yeah.
Five.
Something like that.
Yeah, bro. I went to Auckland Grammar, and there was a school camp down there.
Wow.
And I took a photo because you could see Ruapehu from there, and it was.
Yeah.
And we thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Because we're kids, you know.
Yeah.
15-year-old, whatever. And we were looking at it, and it could have easily been Tonga.
Yeah.
Right? And we were obliterated.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's something about once you see something so magnificent that you can't quite believe what you're looking at.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was like that watching the satellite. You know, obviously it was a bit dramatized because it was sped up.
Yeah.
But the way it was looking, and it kept replaying like a meme.
Yeah.
And it was just so big. Something about the scale of it that you can't fathom.
Yeah.
You know, you can't fathom that size. You know,
it was something I'd like, 95-ish, so I would have been about 8 or so, or 7 or 8. And then when I was on that farm last year and in Hawke's Bay, and he showed me some stratification, he's like, oh yeah, that was from the explosion. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, there's heaps of like volcanic stuff over here, because really they're just over the Rohinis from Ruapehu. And I was just like, hard out, like in Hawke's Bay, they are really affected by it. Like there's ash everywhere.
But you know, that's also why we're such at a deficit, and I think in our cultures, because we don't even think like that. We don't even think that stuff's out there.
Yeah.
You know, we just go along in our life thinking that it'd be awesome not to get cancer. You know, like.
Yeah.
But it's. we had a big conversation in the hour that I lost, the hour that I lost, the hour that I lost, the hour that I lost. And it was about kind of like human suffering and why I believe that if you're going to stand up and, let's just say, influence a group of people, a prime minister, for example, you better have the systems around you to better understand what humanity is capable of. And I reckon it's why we've lost a bit with our lack of understanding with faith. Because that covered a lot of that. You know, it's like, even at a metaphorical level, I was actually talking to a Jehovah's Witness the other day. And I, for some reason, I don't like that. You know, I was never keen when they came to the door. You know, I can remember being really quiet and waiting till they left. And there's just something like a bit spooky, but I actually sat down and talked to the dude. And we had a good chat, you know, and I was like, oh, so this is what you think, you know? And I was kind of tested him on a few of my thoughts, you know, like one of the things he said is, and I'll get this wrong, but I'll try and go anyway. He's saying one of the ways they look at hierarchy is like the top, the best that is gold. And it goes all the way through, you know, iron and right down to clay. And it said where we are as the people is we're a mixture between clay and iron. And the idea is to be able to mix those two so you're not too soft or too hard. Because if you're too soft and your feet are clay, you topple over. You know? So remember, it goes all the way up to gold, and the divine is gold. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, because how I read that is that it's saying that we are all of those, and we have capacity to be gold and to be clay. And that sometimes you want to be careful not to just be clay or you'll be soft. Or you have, you don't want to just be iron, or you'll be too stiff. And I said, I think just like the rainbow, the goal is to be a blur, is to be all of those, like day and night, you know, light and dark, up and down. It's always about this calibration, the nervous system. You know, we've talked for hours about this. So, and he wasn't that keen on that. You know, I was like, yeah, nice try, but that is not what the scripture's saying. And I'm like, well, I think that my scripture is a more internal one, is a human-based feeling. And he was like, yep, but our scripture, being the Jehovah's Witness, what is about being educated. Their big thing is like, we've got documents that answer every question. You know, they got their website's like a big Google. And you can ask a question. Why does, you know, and it's like there's an answer for that from the Bible. And I just think like, properly acclimated to life, a human can self-reveal those things. I think that's that divine within us. You know, like you as a dad, you can create a moment and you don't need to be a dad. It just reveals itself. And I just truly believe that that's the deepest meaning of spirituality. And actually, that's probably the hardest. That requires discipline, love, care. It requires knowing the darkness, like the deepness and the darkness that actually is very fascinating to me when I interview people like Dr. Paul Wood, Lance Burdett. It's like they've stood on the edge and they look out and, you know, they're here, they come back to tell us a story. And so...
Well, that was kind of like you were saying about maybe the problem with Jacinda is she's... had a great time, and you know, what comes to mind is like the dichotomy, you know, and the contradiction of life and the push and pull of things. Like there's so many metaphors for like one action working in the favor of a group and having an influence on others.
It'd be like you or I or any of our mates trying to run the country would fuck it up.
I don't want that job.
No, but we would fuck it up because we always bend the rules for ourselves.
Yeah.
Always. Each of us do. You jerk off when you shouldn't. You know you shouldn't, but you bend the rules, you know? And there's a thrill in that, granted, but there's a discipline needed and an understanding of why, you know? So I just think that you're a brave person if you get up there and say, we know what's good at scale, because that's the thing at scale.
Yeah.
And that's why they lean so hard, I'm talking politicians, on their science at the moment.
Yeah. And that also brings me the thought that that's why there is like a party structure and a party belief.
Mm.
And it like goes along those lines. And so that's why when it's like, you know, in the States bipartisan, but here, you know, you've got a little bit of choice in what you sort of lean towards, but then you like look at the whole picture and you go, I kind of feel a little bit lost and across the board, and then you got to choose two.
but it wasn't supposed to. I'm no historian, but I think that it wasn't supposed to be like that. There's a missing element. Everyone was supposed to be serving a higher power, and that, like Jordan Peterson talks about it. He's like, the British, for all of the ups and downs, they served the higher power, which believed a person had enlightenment within them,
mm-hmm.
or a spark of divinity.
Are we talking about the Anglican Church, or are we talking about
just talking about, you know, Christianity?
Yeah.
But his point was is that that's what ended slavery,
yeah.
was that you were worth something.
Yeah.
You know, you weren't just you weren't ownable because you served the
higher power. Or even like you think about Britain, and even though it's the monarchy, it's still God saved the.
Yeah. There was something above that.
Yeah.
It's even in the States, you know, they had their system, which was God, whatever.
You're like, what is it? They're pledging allegiance to the flag, but under God, isn't it?
Yeah. And call it what you want, but they made a sacrifice to say we weren't, like, this is really challenging for me, by the way. Mm. I'm not sitting here saying this is good shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's confronting for me because I live my whole life where I can quite be the center of my world, and I would have called myself an atheist, and I don't know what I call myself, but I think we're brave to call ourselves, like, whatever we call ourselves, humans in control. Like, how's it working out for us? Hey, you know, we've got the worst suicide shit ever. People are on the edge. We've released these corona shit into the world. You know, it's like, it's bad news. And shit's open all the time. The algorithm is sucking our soul dry.
That's opened all the time.
Yeah,
that's fuck. Never ending.
And so it's like, well, what do you do about that? And I don't know, I just kind of think some of those ancient practices, I would not like people to get caught up in going straight to like Christianity, Muslim. Like, I'm thinking, I'm talking about things like, you know, I had a professor on the podcast from Israel, and he studied caves.
Yeah.
And he talked about cave art, and I read one of his articles and then interviewed him, and I said, what's the deal, man? Why are humans have this history with caves? And he's like, well, we would go into them, and the challenge was to go as far into them as you can, like a game.
Yeah.
And then when they got there, they would burn a fire, and that would suck all the oxygen out of the room. These people would hallucinate. And guess what came out? Wall art.
Yeah.
Ideas.
Yeah.
Mystery. Story. And so he said that was their way of connecting with their gods. As an ancient...
I can relate to that.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Cut to you.
Yeah, so that was my first guided Wim Hof. Was 5 rounds, sucking the life out of the room with Mark Clure and Dean Glanston. I got some pyramids and some
awesome
glowing deity figures.
But that's with no psychedelics.
No.
An internal psychedelic. And I'm simply suggesting that is what I'm referring to as connecting.
Yeah.
Why can't that be connecting to something more? And then why can't we say that it's way more worth worshipping that than what we currently worship, which is ourselves. And
do you have a belief? Like, why do you think that we should worship something? Because that's where, coming from a place of a Catholic upbringing, like, I have a belief for creation and what perpetuates us, but I sort of struggle with the actual worship part.
Well, you worship things all the time. You worship your kids.
Yeah.
You have faith that they will be good people.
Yeah.
If you're with a partner, you have a belief that they won't fuck you over.
Yeah.
And that they will see your bright on your darkest day.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, that's a harder belief sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about an almighty.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a transcendence that you experience through breathing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a connection that two people have, and all of a sudden you know, your AC/DC concert, a crowd movement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, call it what you will, but they're in a ceremony.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a new name for it.
Uh-huh.
We've had those all different things for as long as we are. So that, I guess it's like the worship is attempting to reach a point to tune in.
So do you think that then the worship is more a practice of connection?
I mean, what else would it be then?
Well, like, and that's where, like, a formal church or, you know, gathering in a house thing, whatever form that is.
I mean, that's all that's doing.
So I guess, okay, why else would they go?
No, but that...
Because they go there and they get a connection, right?
They connect to each other, which I think they think is connecting to something.
Well, and it could be.
But it is. It's connecting to each other.
Yeah.
Like, surely that's why isolation is a torture tactic.
Mm.
I will not let you connect. That's what I was telling you about my interview with Herbert Chow.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Hong Kong businessman who went up against the Chinese government because they were protesting for the Hong Kong country.
Yeah.
And in short, his message to me was, people in the prison, who are in these Chinese prisons, are not given access. They're not talking about healthcare or freedom or fairness. They don't have access to something as simple as a piece of candy.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's where we're talking to, this level of, you know, that's the level of we're talking to.
So is the your sort of belief structure kind of what Akash is talking to, like the humanness? What is humanness?
Yeah. And my current thought is, you might put enough things, probably the family structure might be a good example. So my wife and I just celebrated our 16th year married, right? So most people, you just gave me a little year, because it's hard as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard. And it's actually not as hard because we're a bit lucky that we just dig each other.
Yeah.
But most people will say, man, that's an achievement. And so think about that structure in terms of, it's just someone that you're with and you're both trying to arrive somewhere else together. And you have to do it with the emergence of children.
Yeah.
Pressure of the world. It's a very religious thing as far as I'm concerned, right? And you team up so that you can become a Voltron and fight off things.
Why is that show not more popular? Why has that not been rebooted?
Exactly. Captain Planet, you know?
Yeah.
Or Team Up.
Yeah.
And I think they're attempting to summon what I'm saying is this inbuilt thing that we have within us. And if you can tune into it, you are powerful.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking like physically woo-woo stuff. I'm just saying, you know, if you really love someone... We call it love, right?
Mm.
See, that's, you've tuned into that, and that's awesome. And that's something worth fighting for, and that's actually something that keeps you in the game when you feel like you're out. So that's what I think religion is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's within, and that we're individuals, but if you can summon a togetherness, that's exactly what you summon, togetherness. Mm-hmm. And that provides meaning, that provides a transfer of knowledge, that provides everything that the biggest rock band gives an audience when they all hit that peak of euphoria. And we've only, I think, summoned it for evil shit.
Yeah. Also, like, where I'm thinking about it is okay, so we've established the worship side of things, the belief side of things, the love side of things. So then why does the identity come in? So you see this with super, like you were saying about from the music perspective, super bands, they'll have like this like screaming adoration, and people even identifying as a fan. And AC/DC, as you said, wearing the AC/DC t-shirt, wearing the Metallica t-shirt, I'm someone that listens to AC/DC. Yeah. So where does, you know, on the parallel, the identity, I'm a Christian. Where does, and then on the flip side of that, you saying, I don't want to identify as the proverbial atheist of, you know, hating on religion. I don't know who or what it is I believe in.
Yeah.
So I don't have a theism, but and the spiritual realm's been hijacked again by another that's something right. We've identified with spiritual, you know.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think there needs to be an identity around this?
I don't know, right? So
yeah,
that's just, I'm not a professional in any of this shit.
Yeah, no.
But I'm just a thinker, as you are, because we're just ponderers, you know. But we need to call shit something.
Yeah,
you know, it's like called Google for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we call our podcasts a name.
Yeah,
and that helps us identify it. So. And it's actually, God's got names and different meanings and different languages. So yeah. Do different religions. So do different like cultures. So I look at that and I think, ah, that's genius.
Yeah.
That's a way of, if the earthquake takes something out, everything's not lost. That's like an inbuilt system where we will, if you and I are sitting in the jungle, with some person who has their own belief system, I reckon there'll be enough similarities in most of the practices that help guide, help shape. And I just look at, like, the difference is the answer. So if there's a massive earthquake here and we're all, this half of the world is wiped out, well, the other half has their practices which will remind you that Wim Hof breathing is awesome. You know, and that, because, you know, like, I think like purity in that is bad. We don't want to all be the same. Like the Nazis tried that shit. They tried to make everything the same. I think that's bad just because it is bad, and that it's not
it's not human.
It's not a way to keep humanity thriving. The better way to keep it thriving is to, if you're a mystical thing, right, I'd do it like it is, where you can shout all you want, you're wrong, but if someone doesn't understand your language, they don't give two tosses.
And that's what's funny about humanity as well, is you could probably figure out that they're not agreeing with you, or, you know, of the variation, even though you don't understand them. That's the other cool thing about humanity, is there's so many other ways to read that. That person's not on the same page as me.
And there was no planes and ships originally, so there's a good argument to say we were never really built to see anything different. Just to hang out around your own pod.
Yeah.
And it's like weird, because we've gone back to that with the bubbles and stuff now.
Oh, man.
You know, and it's like, isn't it funny that you and I are positioned, we were able to transfer straight over to Zoom for our podcast.
Yeah.
when everyone was thinking about how do we use it for work, you and I and our crew were like, how do we expand our podcast into the digital space?
Yeah.
And that's good. But look at us now. We're back to like when we can. It's like in person.
And it's so much better. I think one of the funny things is that little smidgen of delay and the way that the internet works in terms of recording is, apart from now, which if you are using Zoom to record things, cheers Jimmy Hunt told me about original audio. Records from both sides, so then you don't sound like you're laughing at your own jokes. But that's the beauty of being in person is, one, everyone gets to hear that we're jovial. We get that. We don't have that delay, and so we can continue with that. Yep. So that's good.
You know, the other thing too is we can read each other properly. Like, when I'm talking, I'll look off, and you'll look at me. And it's like there's a language there where you're observing where I'm going with this, and then it clicks back to you, and you'll start zipping around with your eyes, and I'll be watching you to be like, is this motherfucker talking, you know? but it's beautiful. It's a symphony, you know? And like, I'm sorry to make it sound like I'm all in on belief. I'm not. But for me, that it would be a way better explanation for a religious practice.
Yeah.
And I actually think if you like think about like ancient stories, I'm sure they didn't include cathedrals and stuff like that. Yeah. And it didn't like Jesus say shit like,
don't build temples.
I'm under a stone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, man, that's the shit right there.
With that identity thing, I think it's also been, I don't know what the word's called, co-opted, captured,
hijacked,
yeah, something like that, by, as a way to organize people. Like, that's different. Upside and down, like, yeah, you know, but we talk about dichotomy of religious structure, country structure, you know, again, like, the monarchy is a great thing, but a bad, you know, pisses lots of people off. It has a terrible history.
Yeah, that's right. But it helped people work at scale, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I think we're still, look at our culture. The government jumped in and helped any business out that needed help.
Yeah.
No one was whinging about that.
Yeah. And it's like our like short term, like, ha, and then our long term, like, fuck.
yeah. But see, that's the problem, is that I think our ancestors were more like, this is going to sound like a horrible soundbite. Our ancestors were more like China, where it was like, our goal is to be around forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at like,
I wonder.
Yeah.
I think you said, you know, we're living in the 24. I think they're living in like the next 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll think about that a bit. I guess what I'm thinking is like the practices, the cultural practices.
As in,
we're supposed to be passed down.
Yeah.
The hierarchy's built. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm thinking of Pacific stuff too.
You know, well,
I think
across the board.
As far as you go back, it's like you weren't ready to be what you needed to be until you were of an age.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd go through ceremonies.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of don't really have ceremonies now. We might have the All Blacks win a World Cup, that's a ceremony, you know? It's a, oh, relief. Or you get married, that's a ceremony. But I think ceremonies used to be things that, like, helped you shed your skin metaphorically, you know, and become the man. You're the man now.
Yeah.
You're the woman now. You're the person now. And it's like, I think I can even look at myself. I'm 41, and it's taken me a long time, and I'm still on my journey to find out my why in life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm so fascinated with life, because that's a journey, and I don't understand my society hasn't prepared me for what I was telling or talking to you about, the darker bits of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately and fortunately, those things have been kind of subverted for me.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm talking about like major bullying, physical abuse, mental abuse, all the things that actually some of our guests talk about harnessing and leveraging to wield as a superpower to help, you know. And I always say to my guess, like, that's why I'm interviewing you. I want to know if it's possible for you to drop knowledge and for me to implement it, or do I as a human have to go through that?
Yeah.
No, but seriously, it's like, that's why I hope there's more to this connection religion thing that I'm talking about. Because if you can sit in the presence of someone and kind of, you know, like a Wi-Fi, connect up and sync up, and there's a little bit of me and a little bit of you, and we walk away slightly stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Yeah.
But that's a belief, man. That's, I'm stretching.
Yeah, well, my belief structure sort of has a little bit of like essence to it, and a perpetuation of essence and energy. That's where talking to Akash and my mate Jagger, like, they're like, yeah, that sounds pretty similar to what we believe. You should look into it.
Yeah. But see, that reveals what I'm trying to say. I reckon if you line up all of the faiths, all of the religions, all of the practices, at the heart, I don't think many of them will be like, it's about you being a piece of shit and dominating everyone. That's a greedy motherfucker.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of those everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
How long have we been going? Because I feel like I want to stop that and push start again.
Yeah,
can we do that?
Yeah.
Can you roll a little advert in here?
Oh, sure.
Just to your podcast, you know, where you do like, why don't you subscribe to Simply... But I'm going to click it to stop because I'm really worried we'll lose it.
Really nervous. Let's do it.
Okay, so see you in a second.
And we're back.
I hope you put a good advert in there.
Oh, it's probably about...
In that gap. You're going to have to edit one in.
Yeah, probably about Shazies.
I reckon it's easier to believe in God than that stuff.
Yeah,
man, shares is
it's a
racket, isn't it?
In the share market, yeah. it's really good. So we talk about
a faith.
We talk about yes, it is. Talk about algorithms a lot, and you hear about how that China's educating all their kids and turning it off at 10 p.m. and stuff, whereas America, they're just teaching them to do really stupid challenges like drinking bleach and shit like that, holding on to firecrackers or something. That was a real bad one.
Isn't that the confronting bit about the whole China where when you look at it, they're looking after their own, but it's just a brutal way. Hey,
but I think in New Zealand and China, please don't change this on us. I think we're getting a little bit of the education over here in New Zealand, because that's just at least my TikTok. I've got lots of like Jordan Peterson, lots of podcasts, a few comedians, some lightheartedness, a few historical podcasts. As I said, that geologist guy, and then some crypto dudes who are just, it's chaos.
Are you into NFTs and stuff?
I have not bought NFTs.
Can you even describe what NFTs are?
I'd call that a contract between an individual and a mass population. So,
what's like another example of that?
Okay. So, have you heard of the concept of 1,000 true fans?
Yes.
So, I think an NFT is a way to harness that, to try and marry a creator to those 1,000 true fans. But it, in its primitive sense at the moment, there's a lot of bad behavior going on and greed going on with that.
Because it's a buzzword.
Yeah.
And you think it's the next Facebook, and if you're not onto it and snap up all of the... Or it's like the .com boom.
Yes.
And if you don't take, you know, shit.com...
And it's almost like the people that are involved in it are trying to get in before it busts. So they also have no confidence in it. It's what is we're talking about spidey senses. That's the spidey sense I get. That there's a lot of nefarious human nature going on. And it probably takes a certain level of risk aversion, and maybe one of the character traits of risk aversion is also narcissism and selfishness. because you don't think about the consequences of others.
Yeah.
Or the consequences, full stop.
Mm.
And so maybe that's what's created this culture. So a good use case I heard for it was that, say, Adele has a concert, and the and there's bots now that buy multiples of tickets and then on sale because the concert's sold out. So if she sells the ticket as an NFT, there's a contract in that NFT that basically says that you, if you're buying the ticket, you're coming to the concert. If you can't go to the concert,
it's invalid.
It's invalid.
There's a code within it.
Yeah. Or if you on-sell it, any profit made on that margin goes to a charity.
Hmm.
Or she gets a percentage of that.
Yeah.
Okay. And that second option probably still, that just probably further inflates scalping. Yeah.
But interesting.
Yeah. So in an environment where AI and bots can scour a ticket company's still getting paid, the artist's still getting paid, but it's creating this false inflation
of supply demand.
Yeah. Then
a bottleneck.
Yeah. Whereas that could create, it could disincentivize that behavior, and, or it could allow that behavior, but it creates more, like a more genuine experience. The people that are buying the tickets are the fans who want to go, who want to use the ticket. And if they, the only reason they would want to sell that is because they can't go. And in terms of on-selling a rare item, because it's a sold-out concert, any extra value goes to charity.
Hmm.
So that was a good idea, I thought, if that can be implemented.
Yeah. No, that's a good explanation. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And so MC Mouse was talking about his EP that he's hoping to release as an NFT, and he talked about the concept that say the first 100 people they would then get 20% of plays, so you know, micro amounts of Ethereum, because there's so many decimal points, but they just kind of have this ticking thing away on the royalties.
Mm.
And so that first 100 NFTs cost a bit more, and it would help, you know, establish him basically. Then the next, say, 200 or 800 NFTs, then they might still get a royalty, but that, you know, they don't have that much access or anything. Mm. Whereas the first 100 might have access to him, and you know, Gary Vee's talking about, you know, setting up a restaurant club or something like that. Tom Bellew's again talking about like a mentorship club associated with the NFT. So it appears that the value is in what's written into the contract, not necessarily the JPEG item.
And that it can be tracked.
Yeah.
By code that is embedded.
If it's structured well.
Right. And that's the racket that, hey man, this NFT is really cool, but it's probably just bullshit.
Bogus. So that was a criticism I heard of the Trillionaire Thugs the other day, that their white paper was poor and there was no implementation of the money. And I think it's called pulling the rug. And so they get, you know, they sell off the, you know, they try hype it up to get access to the white paper and the initial rewards. And then they just disappear with the money, because there's never anything written on that white paper to say what they were going to do with the money.
Right.
Yeah. So I think what, as far as I've gleaned, and this is from TikTok, so
so it's legit. Yeah,
it's not much knowledge.
Just legit, bro.
This is what, as I'll emphasize gleaned, that if you are doing this, then you need to understand the implementation of that white paper. So don't just look at the image and think it's cool and speculate that it could be worth lots of money in the future.
Mm.
actually look at the purpose of the contract.
Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, that's as far as I'm aware.
Mm. Yeah. That's awesome though. I mean, you know, I don't, that's a good full stop in that sentence, because that's some gangster shit. You know, people are like operating at that level, and you know, we'll see. I guess we'll see, eh? We'll yeah. see how it all plays out.
Hard out.
And it's like, it's just so interesting because things are taken now. There's like things born of the internet.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, you know, I think didn't money used to be shells, and then it was rare items and
tulips.
And now it's the internet.
The internet.
And
some code. And some code.
And it's that code.
Like decimals of whatever it is, a token, decimals of a token, satoshis and ethers.
Like another language that you and I don't speak, eh?
Yeah.
And it's that divide that happens between generations. And
yeah, so I'm like, I think I'm level 6 of Duolingo Italian. I could not have a conversation. So if I'm Instagram messaging some Italian people, I'll try and communicate right in Italian.
Mm.
But I have to go Google Translate that shit. And I think that's about my understanding of cryptocurrency.
Yeah, well, that's...
I recognize the words.
Look, and it's probably my understanding of money in general. You know, I was having a chat to a mate today. He's like, bro, you got to spend money to make money.
Mm.
I was like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, hard.
You know, like we were talking about, the COVID. I got my side hustle business, which I'm rapidly turning into. Freaks me out to say it, but I'm planning on that's going to be what pays me.
Yeah.
And I mean, people do it every day. They own a business and they run a business. It's just like the stakes are high, man. If you don't make a sale, you don't eat, you know?
Yeah.
And I just, it scares me to think about it.
So what does it look like, the studio?
It's about the double size of this.
Yeah.
And it's got, this might have 5 grand's worth of gear in it. That's got 20.
Yeah.
And it's got professional lights, so you could shoot a movie on those cameras.
Yeah.
And we've got 3 of them.
Wow.
And they intercut like this, but professional, you know, like a vision switcher. It still runs through OBS, which crashed. Fucking hope it doesn't crash. But, yeah, in short, it's a professional space aimed at helping professional businesses have professional content.
Yeah.
But not for crazy amounts. So of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it's a bit of a hack in some ways. I think if I can make a business out of that, essentially what I've created is a space for me to podcast whenever I want.
Yeah.
And my friends to podcast whenever I want. And surely that's close to the Joe Rogan template.
Yeah.
You know, the difference is, like I said to you in the hour I lost, they had notoriety before going into that.
I think that was in this one.
Was it?
I hope so.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They had the notoriety. We don't, but we have a dynamic skill set now, which will help us leverage our next steps.
Yeah.
And I mean, that skill set is we can talk to people that we don't know, and we know a lot of people now.
Yeah.
You know, 156 podcasts in, you're like, coming up to
222
300 basically.
Yeah.
And but that's 222 people that you know.
Yeah.
And you can email them.
Yeah.
So it's like, at what point do you lean in on that?
And do you know what's pretty crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Seeing some of those people on Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
It's like, I've interviewed them. Yeah. Ben Patrick the other day, I was like, sweet. And then Ben Patrick was hanging out with Zach Bitter. I was like, I've interviewed him.
Yeah, that's cool, eh?
Yeah.
That's cool. It's
well, he's like always talking about Soren X equipment. I'm like, yeah, I've talked to Bert Soren.
It's funny what we value though. Like, I've interviewed Bill English
and
Jacinda twice.
Nice.
But I don't post those because she wasn't Prime Minister then. But I bet you I got better interviews of her then.
Yeah.
Than there are now.
Are they still alive?
What's that?
Those interviews.
Yeah, well, one of them is. The other one, the other one was ages ago when she was, Grant Robinson was the top dog.
Yeah.
And she was going to be deputy and they were making a run then.
Yeah.
But they didn't get it. That was the time before. Anyway, but long story short, I was like, hey, if you're deputy prime minister, do you think I can come down and do a podcast with you? And, oh, sure.
Was that in Auckland? Or
When she was wherever her electorate thing is, I emailed and went to the office and took a couple of stink mics. But, you know, I had questions from other people like around, that was the Five Eyes thing at that time.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, what's the deal there? And, you know, she gave some good answers. That stuff doesn't exist. I think I made the mistake of, remember Mega, the website?
Yeah.
I uploaded all my stuff there, and then if you don't go to those sites, they ditch them. So I lost a bunch of content, and that's all right. But my...
Was Mega old mate?
Yeah, yeah.
What's his name?
Kim.
Kim.com.
Jimconnell.com. Yeah, yeah. He... yeah, what a story. I wanted to podcast with that guy for a while.
Yeah.
I'd love to still podcast. And
do you know where he is?
No. It's hard to know. Has he got any money still? Or yeah, I mean, Mega, the website still goes. Because I still upload some stuff to another Mega account that I have. And I have to activate that one because my mum made me scan some family documents I put them there.
Yeah.
So every 6 months I go in and just make sure it's okay.
Can you not download them
again? Probably. Yeah. But you know, creatures of habit.
Back to the money thing. What are your subscriptions?
Man, I'd like to be good with money. I've said it the last few days, like, I got mega poor man's syndrome when it comes to money.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't understand it.
Yeah. Like, that's why I started diving into prior to getting our house and took a ride. Partly because I had so to steal a Jimmy Hunt and Paul Wood term, I created some post-traumatic growth. So I had some PTSD from the last house I owned and decided to take some action and education and grow and address some financial literacy. So again, we're talking about this network, like two people that have come on the podcast. Luke Kemmies has a fantastic Friday email called Money Mail, and he then podcasts about the emails.
See, got blonde hair. Just thinking, wonder if we're talking about the same guy, because he is a cool dude.
He runs also runs Boys Get Paid, which is a gambling. No, it's a horse punting group.
What's his name? Luke.
Luke Kemmies. Keep the Change is the page in the podcast and with the email. And then Sarah, I've forgotten your last name, but hers is the One Up Project. And then also It's No Secret, which is run by two of the people from Kernel Investing, which is another application I guess I haven't looked into the minimum purchase, but a smaller investing platform. Small to large, you know, they do large-scale investing and financial management. But all those have really good mindsets and skills and ways to, like you say, the understanding of what does it mean to go spend money to make money. Like, that's a slogan. But to some people, they run with that.
Bro, my mate Peter, he was deadly serious.
Yeah.
He's like, get that COVID loan and put it into this right now and you'll make your thing back. And I was like, hell no. But, you know, my whole thing with it, if I'm going to run this business, is like, I just need to be confident that people would pay for that service.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm attempting. Yeah. I've given an ambitious task for this new venture, Campfire Studios, that will sign 3 clients up for 3 months.
Yeah.
And that they'll pay $5,000 a month for full content.
Yeah.
And that will act like a one FTE staff member. And the IP, bro, is this.
Yeah.
Is this, but on steroids. Yeah. And it's saying that lean into conversation-based content. I'll coach you to be able to put a structure together.
Yeah.
And then we'll do the full podcast and then we'll dice up the bits and that's you. That's what we do on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Now, if we had some mega resource behind it, we would have 5 to 6 small clips. We would have B-roll over top. We'd have music. We'd give different briefs on make this one for Instagram stories, make this one for Facebook. We'd put money behind them just like bigger platforms are. But, you know, I think that is a good, well, I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, that people will be able to, I know I can do it for people, whether or not they will find value in it.
Mm.
That's what, you know, so before I throw the kitchen sink at it, bro, it's like, that's the goal.
Yeah, that's the value proposition, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. And that's what the market, which I don't understand much of.
Well, the other aspect too is this idea of legacy. And for rich people, I think legacy is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that by articles and books and things like that. And I've been saying to some rich people that I know, why are you not leaving a legacy of your story like this?
Mm-hmm.
We're leaving a legacy for our kids. You're not leaving a legacy. You're going to be in some news story and you don't even write a book.
Mm.
So pay me to capture that for you and just come in and talk. You know, I don't quite get it because I'm not super rich, but maybe when you're at that level, that's the type of stuff that, you know, it's about legacy and what can enhance that. You know, think about the $100 million club here in New Zealand. There'll be things that people's decision will be based around, will that make me look epic?
Mm.
You know? And there's something kind of cool about maybe thinking that I'll be able to service millionaires.
Mm.
Well, and learn off them and
create that,
have a career from that.
And like I said, learn off them, create that rich mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're already touching on the legacy idea already.
Mm.
So that, you know, it's a starting point. So you're creating that lens now to start seeing the world. And then, like you say, the connection and the involvement from the podcast and bouncing ideas and that, the belief that we have of the energy and melding.
Because none of the faith that I have.
The faith that you have.
That two people or more can summon a meaningful moment, which we've shown in our meta-analysis of hundreds of podcasts.
Yeah.
We've proved that is a real thing.
Yeah.
But I just can't touch it or feel it or smell it. It is there. And you've captured it, you know?
Well, we managed to talk for a very long time.
We've done a 3-hour podcast, but we've only got 2 of it recorded, and it will haunt me forever.
No, it's fine. Thank you so much for the privilege of using the equipment.
Pleasure.
It's going to be lush.
It's very, very honored to be on your show and very honored to know you and to walk this journey with you. So thank you, bro.
Legend. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah.